So I'm going to open the Senate Committee on General Government and Accountability for Wednesday, March 29th, 2017. And the bills that are listed, we're not going to work 384, 467, or 1022. We're going to do 277, and then we're going to have public hearings only on 210 and 1028.
Mr. Chair, just I think it's 227, not 277.
Oh, 227. Did I say that wrong? Sorry about
that's
that.
Okay.
227 is the bill we're going to work today.
And then we'll do the public hearings.
Public only hearings only on the other two. So I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 227.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 227 was previously heard on March the 20th. This is the measure that updates the rulemaking procedures for the electronic database for the Secretary of State's office. It has a -1 and a -2 amendment. The -1 restores an agency obligation to provide notice of rule activity at least 49 days in advance. The bill as introduced had changed that to 30, so the amendment puts it back in its original state at 49 days. The -2 amendment restores language that permits agencies to incorporate published standards by reference rather than the threat of having to reproduce standards in their entirety when they reference a bill. It has no subsequent referral. It has a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
So Chair Riley, I move to adopt the -1 amendments dated 3/15/17.
Senator DeBoer moves to adopt the -1 amendments dated 3/15/17 to Senate Bill 227. Is there discussion? Are there objections? It is adopted.
Chair Riley, I move to adopt the -2 amendments dated 3/24/17.
Senator DeBoer moves to adopt the -2 amendments dated 3/24/17. Discussion? Objections? It's adopted.
Chair Riley, I move Senate Bill 227 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Boer moves Senate Bill 227 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Objections? It is moved to the floor and Mark, Senator Hass and Senator Thatcher is excused.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah. And did you want to assign a carrier as well?
I'll carry. Yeah. Yes, that's great. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to close that work session, and I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 210.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 210 permits cities, counties, and special districts to post public notices on websites hosted by the League of Oregon Cities, the Association of Oregon Counties, and the Special Districts Association of Oregon. It requires such websites to be searchable and to allow subscribers to receive notices via email for free, and it makes explicit that public bodies may enter into agreements to pay for internet publication.
Thank you. Scott Winkles, let's just bring up also Rob Bovent. Rob?
Bovent.
Yeah.
And Matt Friesen, I can't see his legs.
Oh. Let's just do these two first. Yeah.
The Three Musketeers or
again,
Three Stooges?
And Mark, too.
We'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. Right.
Chair Riley, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Scott Winkles, and I represent the League of Oregon Cities. The League of Oregon Cities is an association of all 241 incorporated cities in the state of Oregon. The issue we're talking about today involves the modernization of the public notice statute. Much of the public notice statute was written in the 70s. It uses terms and some definitions that are not necessarily reflect the modern way people digest their news and information. Some of the definitions involved are a little antiquated. If you look at the definition of a newspaper in 193.010, the definition of a newspaper under that statute is a It actually goes so far as to define column inch, number of columns, length of paper, and require that 50% of the circulation be in from a bona fide subscriber, meaning a person who has had uninterrupted paid subscription that's not in arrears for 12 months. This may not reflect the current media market in the state of Oregon today. What the league is proposing is simply giving an option for cities to use an electronic notification system. We aren't looking at trading one mandate for another. We're simply asking that they, that if it's appropriate and for a certain community, that they, as determined by their council, that they use this an electron, be able to use an electronic system for their public notice requirements. Utah has used uses a system like this, and if with the chair's permission, I can walk you through how that works on the screen now. So this is their system, and it uses its state, county. You'll also use courts. I'm going to click on cities. I'm going to scroll down to Salt Lake because it gives the most options.
You could have picked one to start with an A. It would.
A lot of the cities in Utah, Chair, are don't actually do much, so it doesn't show a reasonable the robustness of what we're looking at. And let's say you want the Bicycle Advisory Committee, you click on that. We're going to scroll down. Sorry, we get meeting agendas, minutes, all that's available. And here's the feature that I think. Makes this a desirable one is that you can subscribe to it. So we click on subscribe. I won't subscribe it to your committee's email address, but you get all of this information delivered directly to the inbox. And we believe that there is a desire among a lot of people in the state to see a modernization. Currently, the city of Yahats, who are actually the city that brought this to our attention, it's actually cheaper for them to, would be cheaper for them to mail their budget to all of their residents than to purchase the ad right now. And so we view this as there are some efficiencies. And again, this is an option. We're looking at this as an option. Will it be appropriate everywhere? Probably not. But we believe that this does need to be modernized. With that, I will turn it over to my colleague, Mr. Bogue. We'll figure it out.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Rob Ovette, legal counsel for the Association of Oregon Counties. I think the reason that our three organizations introduced Senate Bill 210 is really to start the conversation around the fact, whether we like it or not, that media is changing. We're becoming an internet world. And the way we reach people, the way we reach our citizens, whether it's public notices or otherwise, is moving to the internet. And in some areas, indeed, the printed newspaper is still the primary source of a lot of information. So in some places, we may have counties or cities that still elect to publish in the print newspaper because that's what makes the most sense, even today. But in other areas, it kind of makes no sense at all because nobody reads it. What they read is online. And so I think whether or not this is the session or not we do this, I think eventually this is going to happen just as a matter of practicality at some point in time. The idea of publishing everything in a printed newspaper, I think at some point will become a thing of the past.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Mark Landauer here on behalf of the Special Districts Association of Oregon. Our association represents approximately 950 special districts throughout the state of Oregon. Needless to say, I was commenting to a member of the lobby in the back that the press, the newspaper industry, buttered my bread for many years. And I've seen over these years a massive change to the newspaper industry. I remember seeing the Oregon Journal being delivered by bicyclists every single day in my neighborhood, along with the Oregonian, so on and so forth. Needless to say, the print press has shrunk severely not only in Oregon, but across the country. And it's largely been driven by the internet and people, as my two colleagues here have said, through gaining information through the internet, as I said. So this is a conversation starter, but I also think it's an opportunity for us to reach more citizens in the state of Oregon who don't get the newspaper anymore. So that most people are in fact using the internet to get their news, and if there's a way by which we can set up a process, as Mr. Winkles demonstrated, by allowing people to actually subscribe and get information in that means, I think that we're all doing a public service. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, but do commend this bill for your thinking. It may not be the perfect bill. We may not want to include every type of public notice, not having to be printed in a newspaper of general circulation, but there are certainly a number of types of notices that could be done in this manner that would not only save the public money, but would also hit a broader recipient. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? So would any or all of you entertain being part of a work group to work this through a little bit?
Chair Riley, members of the committee, I think I speak for my colleagues when we say yes, we'd be eager for that process. And I also point out to my colleague, I actually was a paper boy for the Oregon Journal. So,
and I was a paper boy as well.
On a bicycle. It was a Huffy with the bags on the side.
I had a Schwinn.
Okay. You were uptown.
No
up
mine was an old brand Stingray.
Right. I had the Stingray with the banana seat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're a lot younger than me, I can tell. It didn't exist. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
We may be getting to you with that request.
Thank you.
So Matt Friesen.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, Matt Friesen testifying on behalf of the Oregon Newspaper Publishers Association, which consists of 82 papers across the state. For the record, I also was a paper boy for the Gresham Outlook. My parents like to recall, though I was so embarrassed of the fact that I was doing that, that I apparently wore a disguise as I rode my bike around the neighborhood because it was junior high and I was self-conscious. But I did make my $22 a month and learned some good things along the way. So at any rate, the newspaper publishers are opposed to Senate Bill 210. We think this takes a step backwards for transparency and open government. We do not think it necessarily actually enhances accessibility, but might make it more difficult for folks to access this information. We've done a fair amount of research and also checked a lot of independent research, and believe it or not, folks do still read their newspapers. And 77% of Oregonians actually read public notices and like to access information in that way. Also, regarding the question of modernization, we already do put our public notices on the web. Each paper does individually, as well as there's a statewide searchable database as well for public notices that is available at any time, as well as obviously those in print editions. So we see this as actually redundant. We just believe that there is also a difference between making a record of a foreclosure on a website versus actually notifying the public through a newspaper foreclosure, just as an example. If a notice is placed only on a government or association website, only people who have knowledge of that website will know to go and look for the notice. This could create a closed loop, and that would be of concern for us. because we just hold a different role in society than do government entities. So with that, I think we would respectfully ask that you do not move Senate Bill 210, and happy to attempt to answer any questions you might have.
Questions? So I'm going to ask you the same question. Would you be willing to work on a little work group to see if we can figure out where we want to go with this?
Yeah, I think we could get the paperboy team together and hopefully make some progress.
Great. So you may be hearing from us about that. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.
So that's all I've got signed up. Does anybody else want to testify on this bill? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 210, and I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1028.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1028 permits professional licensing bodies to substitute experience for high school diploma or equivalent, becomes operative January 1st, 2018, takes effect the 91st day after signing the act.
Senator, thank you for coming, and whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Chair Riley, Vice Chair DeBoe, Senator Pazansky. Looks a little different than you sitting up there versus this morning, huh?
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having this hearing. My name is, members of the committee, my name is James Ivory Manning, Jr. I'm a senator from Senate District 7, which is Eugene and Junction City. I'm here in support of Senate Bill 1028, a bill that was drafted on behalf of David Bing. I want to thank you for this opportunity to say a few words in support of this bill. Before I get started, I'd like to also say that this bill is really important to me because I have a younger brother that's high-functioning autism, and he's been working at the same place for over 19 years now. It gives him a sense of self-respect. He has a personal he has a personal commitment that gives him the dignity and respect that anyone else would like to have. And I think it's really important that we look at our friends, family, and provide some additional support. So what Senate Bill 1028 does is that it, in case of specific types of licensors in Oregon, it allows the various licensing boards where a GED or high school diploma or a higher level of education required to have the authority to consider experience in lieu of those educational requirements. This bill does not require that these various license board allow experience to replace education, but it says that they may, in relevant circumstances, have the discretion to allow for those exceptions. In certain situations, students depart from their formal education prior to earning their diploma for various reasons. Many are forced to enter the workplace as teens, and others find difficulty succeeding academically, but are often work ready and have the opportunity to thrive in an environment, in a work environment. With certain type of licensures, these individuals are well trained, experienced, qualified for the job, but often held back because they weren't able to finish their education through 12th grade. This bill provides an opportunity for those individuals to earn a good living, excel in their career paths, and valuable members of society, to be valuable members of society, contributing their skills in workplace environments. Again, I want to stress that this bill does not make a requirement for licensure boards to allow that work experience qualify them for a license in lieu of education requirement, but that they may make provisions in specific circumstances. With licensures that require formal training or education, such as a bachelor's degree, trade school completion, or other types of requirement, this bill will have no impact. I am happy to answer any questions of the committee, but I would like to also provide an opportunity for David to present his portion of this testimony.
Sure. David, go ahead.
My name is David Beam. I'm a spokesman for all the disability people in the state of Oregon under the governor, the advisor to the governor, all the services for special needs population in the state, for each county in the state. But I'd like to see this bill pass on the floor. I'd be the first one in the nation would do this, in the first one in the nation. And it would be funding for the program for a couple of years and see it done right. Because a lot of disability people depend on me to get this done. So I've been out there and talking to every county, mayors, police departments, city councilmen. So, and I like to see this done because I worked with most every governor we had. The first governor I worked with was Vic Atiyah, and I worked with every governor we had, and they liked the idea what's needed for special needs population. Barbara Roberts' son is a disability person too. So I like to see this done because Barbara Roberts asked me to do this, and that's what I'm doing for each state, be done for every county. Any questions?
Questions?
I'm fine. No, thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, and I announced at the beginning that I'm not going to move this today, but I'm going to carry this over until Monday, and we'll see this again on Monday.
Thank you.
I'm going to close the public hearing on 11/28. I think that's everything for today. So thank you. And
you said you're carrying it over. Did you have a date certain that you wanted to?
No, we're holding off. Okay. So, and I'm going to close the committee. Thank you very much. To close the committee. Thank you very much. I'm going.